Oh, this is the night. It's a beautiful night, and we call it Bella Notte.
Welcome to the Disney Magic Podcast. I'm Joel.
And I'm Megan.
And we like to talk about Disney things. Disney things like Lady and the Tramp, which is what we're going to be talking about this week.
It's true.
Yeah, because we're going in order.
there's an order there, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a reason.
Lady and the Tramp was released June 22nd, 1955, and is the 15th animated feature in the American Animated Classics series.
For some reason, I always picture this movie as a later movie, and I don't know why. I guess it's because most of the earlier movies were not animal-based.
Yeah.
So it seems kind of like a weird placement in my mind, but I can't really do much about the year something was made in.
Yeah, it's not really an opinion, Megan.
Sorry.
You have to go with it.
Sad.
It was their first animated feature to be filmed in CinemaScope.
Oh, that's cool.
Widescreen. So, moving along with the times.
Ooh.
But it's interesting. It was apparently after they decided to do it in CinemaScope and it started working on CinemaScope, they learned that not all theaters were able to show movies in widescreen yet.
Oops.
And so they had to go and make a original aspect ratio anyway.
Oh god, that's annoying.
So, yeah. But it is, but I, you know, that's the one I'm assuming you can watch now, was the Technicolor CinemaScope, all the fancy words.
Yep.
So, this is a movie I realized as I was watching it, I didn't remember at all what this movie was about. Just because, like, I hadn't seen it a lot as a kid, and I hadn't seen it a lot in a long time.
Yeah, I saw it probably last when I was, like, maybe 10 at the oldest, so I really didn't remember it very much. I remembered, you know, very specific things. I remember the meatball scene, obviously.
I remember the cats.
I remembered the We Are Siamese song. And I remembered the scene with Lady on the bed, and she's like a puppy, and then she gets older.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. But other than that, I didn't really remember much either. I didn't even remember most of the side characters. Which I felt kind of bad about, because I really like them. I remembered he's a tramp, because I had one of those, like, big, like, billion-song Disney collections or whatever for a while.
Yeah.
And it had that on there, and I really liked that song.
Yeah.
But that's all I got. Like, I wasn't really attached to it as a kid, and I don't remember watching it a lot, and I hadn't seen it since, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, I didn't have a copy of it, and nobody I knew had a copy of it, so.
Yeah.
It was one that, I mean, I know I watched it at some point, so I just don't know where, but my grandmother did have a picture book of it.
Yeah.
And so I do remember what everything looks like, so. But yeah, I recognize all the side characters. I couldn't have said what their name were.
Yeah.
And they all had accents, and I didn't remember that.
I vaguely remembered that, but I also associated that immediately with Oliver and Company, which I watched more as a child than this movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like the little chihuahua with the accent reminded me of the chihuahua with the accent in Oliver and Company. So
yeah.
I think they were kind of intertwined in my mind.
Yeah.
So.
But let's, I guess, start up. Movie opens up on Christmas morning.
Okay, when I first started watching this movie, the first thing I did immediately was go look up what year this was supposed to be set in, because it confused me to no end until I looked it up. So,
yeah.
It's supposed to be set in 1909, apparently.
I've read,
That's what Wikipedia told me.
I know
me.
Wikipedia said that.
But
the only thing is,
there's mention of a plane.
I thought the first one, or the second one, took place in 1911. And this one's at least 2 years long.
Right.
So, it has to take place in 1908.
Yeah.
Which would be almost 1909. It'd be Christmas 1908. Right. But yeah, Wikipedia said Christmas 1909, and
The thing that confused me most was, well, first of all of the ladies' clothes. That's what I noticed first, was like, that's a floor-length skirt. When is this movie set in? but beyond that, there's a scene where they're leaving later on in the movie, and the crazy angry aunt lady says, you have to go, you'll miss your plane.
Like, I think she says train.
I thought she said plane. And that's why I was really confused. I was like,
No, there's no way these people ever took a plane.
Exactly. Like, wait a minute, what? Okay, that has cleared up all of my concerns then. I now believe that it is totally 1909. Okay.
Yeah.
Because that was the weirdest thing. I was like, what movie? You can't just invent planes cheaper and earlier. This doesn't make sense. Okay.
Yeah. So, 1908 or 9. Somewhere but, there. You know, within a reasonable time period. Christmas and Jim Deere has a present.
For Darling.
For Darling.
Well, they call each other that, so I thought it was their nicknames, and I thought that was why Lady called them that. But later, at the baby shower, they're definitely referred to as such.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Which is Deer their last name? Are they the Deer family?
Oh, I don't know.
Which makes her name Darling Deer?
Oh, no.
Which,
My confusion was mostly with the husband, because I think one of his friends called him Jim Deer, and I was like, because that's a weird thing for a dude to call a dude friend. So maybe their last name is Deer. The Darling thing, I assumed, could just be, you know, one of her friends could call her Darling as a pet name sort of thing. That's not that weird. So, yeah, maybe their last name is Deer. But
everybody in this movie calls her Darling.
Everybody does.
So, but, you know, the most creative name they came up for their dog was Lady. So
it's true.
Maybe they're just used to really, really generic names.
So it's Christmas time, and there's a little Christmas song at the beginning. I didn't remember this little Christmas song. I remember that it was Christmas.
Yeah.
Because I remember this little scene where he gives her the puppy in the box.
Yeah, in the hat box. Because she thinks it's a hat first.
She does, which is adorable. She's like, is it that one with the bow and the trim? Like, no. not really. It's a puppy. And oh my god. Lady is the cutest thing. She's so cute. She's so fluffy and tiny.
Because she's a tiny puppy dog. That's how they are.
It's true. But she's especially cute and tiny.
And so she won't go to bed where they want her to go to bed.
There's this whole extended sequences. Yeah. And you know, if you've ever brought a puppy home, that process is the least fun process in the world, because most of the time when you bring a puppy home, they're all happy until you try and go to bed, and then they cry all night because, you know, they've been separated from their family and they're in a new place and it's not happy fun time anymore. You know, there's no new people to see or anything. They just have to be alone and sleep, and that's so traumatizing for them. So,
but Lady wins out, and she gets to sleep in their bed for just one night.
Just one night, and then there's a little...
6 months later.
Yeah, a little scene change, and she's much older and still sleeping on the bed. I was so impressed in this movie how much these dogs look like dogs. The animation of the dog characters is really, really good.
Yeah.
The way they interact with each other and, the silly things they do, when she's a puppy in that little scene, she's, sliding around on the linoleum floor in the kitchen, which is, something all dogs do.
Right.
And, I don't know, and this next scene, she wakes up Jim Deere, and then she goes, on her morning routine, which is, go eat food, run around the house, go outside, chase some birds. And that's such a dog thing to do, where they have that little routine where they, wake up in the morning and chase some birds and eat some food, and... It's very, very cute and very realistic, I think.
Yeah. And so, yeah. She's, you know, she just loves being a dog.
Yep.
Being happy. Life is awesome. Yep. And we're introduced to her two fellow dog friends.
Oh, wait a minute, though. Before we're introduced to them, they feed her coffee and donuts for breakfast.
They do.
Is that coffee or tea? I guess it doesn't matter, because both would be caffeinated and probably a terrible plan. I was like, man, this dog is spoiled. Coffee and donuts for breakfast. I want coffee and donuts for breakfast.
No wonder she loves being a dog.
Seriously.
She's super pampered.
She gets her new collar and license. Yes. And then she goes to show it off to Jacques and Trusty.
Yes. Jacques is a little Scottish terrier.
Jacques is a Scottish dog, a Scottish breed, and a Scottish dog. Like, he's got a Scottish accent, and he has a French name. I don't know why. It's just kind of silly.
Doesn't matter. I liked him. He was highly entertaining.
I really enjoyed him, too. I liked his silly accent.
Yeah.
And his little... He always wore plaid. He's, like, really stereotypically Scottish. It was really cute. And Trusty is, like, a bloodhound or something. Some sort of hound dog.
He had been used to... I guess they... I think they said hunt down criminals.
I think so.
In his prime. But...
And he's got a southern accent.
Yeah.
Supposedly, Trusty explains to Lady that, he doesn't, or not Trusty, Jacques explains to Jacques Lady explains that Trusty doesn't have a sense of smell anymore.
He lost his sense of smell. Yeah. Which is the worst thing that can happen to a dog.
Yep.
And so, but meanwhile, on the other side of town... We're introduced to the tramp.
He's so cute.
Who just, you know, enjoys life being awesome.
Yep. and he, like, goes to a different place every day to eat. And he runs around. And he chases things. And he has lots of bones.
I really like this little scene because, I mean, up until this point, it had all been... about the lady, and it would have been easy to introduce the tramp when he's introduced to a lady.
Right.
But I like this scene in comparison to the other scene because both of them just have crazy fun being dogs and running around. Even though they have these very different lifestyles, they're still very much, I mean, they're very much dogs and like to run around and have fun and be happy. Yeah.
I thought it was really interesting. I didn't remember how much this movie talked about, like, social constraints of society, basically. Like, it sounds so, like, ridiculous, but, like, the way they talk about life as a dog in a rich place and basically a poor place is very interesting to me, and I had totally blocked that out as a child. I only just noticed, like, dogs having fun. Yay, dogs, okay.
Yeah, that had kind of gone over my head.
Yeah, so I thought it was really interesting to watch now that I'm old enough to realize it. Dog society is very, very separated, really.
Yeah. We go back to Lady, and Lady is sad.
Lady
is sad because Jim Deere and Darling are acting differently, and she doesn't know why. And it becomes pretty obvious fairly quickly that they're expecting a kid, and
what I don't understand is how difficult it is to explain to Lady what is happening, because it's not like dogs don't have babies. It's just the difference of word. So I'm not really sure why
puppies.
It takes so much effort to be like, oh, it's like they're having a puppy. Like, it takes them like 20 minutes to like tiptoe around the subject, and she still doesn't quite get it.
She doesn't. She has to sing a song about it later.
She sings a song about it, being like, what's a baby? I don't understand. Like, why is this so difficult? It's not like, you know, she lays eggs or something. It would really take that much effort to explain. It's pretty much the same process.
I don't know. Maybe she doesn't know what a puppy is either.
I mean, I guess not. I guess
that would be. I don't know. Weird. I don't know how dogs learn.
How dogs learn the birds and the bees. I thought that was very odd.
It was. But they're Jacques and Josie are telling her how nice and wonderful having a baby will be, and the tramp overhears, because tramp was, I guess, just walking down the street.
Yeah, he had run away from the pound collectors, I think.
Yeah, so that's how he ended up in the classy part of town.
Swanky neighborhood.
Yep.
With, like, the prettiest houses ever. All of those houses were ridiculously pretty.
It was a pretty neighborhood.
It's a very nice neighborhood.
So, but Tramp has to interject that, no, babies are terrible.
Babies are awful. And he does so by imitating, like, a lady's voice. And it is hilarious. I really like his lady voice.
I like this whole little bit, because, you know, he's like, oh, remember steaks? Yeah, no steaks anymore. Oh, you remember nice warm by the fire? And I was going, no, she doesn't. She doesn't sleep by the fire. She sleeps on the bed. She sleeps in the bed.
Yeah.
So, but no, it's doghouse from now on. And so, the tramp has, I guess, put some fear into her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's, you know, kind of antsy about the baby coming, and we see time pass, and my favorite part of this is Jim Deere counting up the days to when the baby's gonna come, and he decides to circle all of April.
I don't know, in
there.
That's funny. Yeah, and there's little scenes of, like, her having pregnancy cravings. There's a scene with the baby shower, and
they're picking names.
Yeah, they're both hoping for their gender of baby.
Yes.
So I forget what Jim was doing, but I remember that Darling was making a list of girls' names.
Darling was making a list of girl names. Jim had a baseball and a catcher's mitt.
Okay.
Sitting out, and he was putting up a Yale pennant.
Oh yeah. Because, at the time, girls didn't go to college.
Yeah. Not in 1900-something.
Whatever this is.
Then it's baby time.
Baby time.
That's about the time Lady has to sing the song about, what's a baby?
What is this thing?
What does all this mean?
And it's a little boy.
Yes.
It doesn't have a name, though.
No, I don't think it's ever named in the movie.
It's just the baby.
The baby.
She goes upstairs, and she, like, peeks over the side of the crib, which cradle. Can't quite see.
Yeah.
And so Jim picks her up to see the baby. It was cute.
That was nice. Except for then they show the baby, and the baby is drawn differently than everything else.
The baby
else.
Looks really odd. It's, like, super sketchy and weird-looking. Like,
yeah,
know.
It's, I mean, it's a nice enough looking baby, but it's a definite different drawing style than anything else in this movie.
Yeah, I have no idea why. That was very weird.
And it doesn't move.
It's sleeping.
It was just, I know it's sleeping, but it's not breathing.
Oh, I'm sad that the baby wasn't noticeably breathing enough for you.
It was just very, very still.
Yes.
It was
odd.
It was. It was an oddly drawn baby.
Weird baby.
So, and they'd be like, no, that's not what a baby is. But they all seem okay with it.
Yep.
Nobody else in the movie mentions the weird-looking baby.
That's good. It's only polite, not to mention when somebody's baby looks weird-looking.
We see the baby later, and he's grown into his animation style.
That's the important thing. Well, you know, all babies look kind of sketchy and weird when they're really young. You gotta grow into cute baby stage.
Right.
That's what happened. That's their conveying there. You figured it out.
It just took some time.
Yep.
But now it's a short period of time later. They don't specifically say, but they're leaving for a few days.
Lady freaks out. For some reason. She thinks they're leaving forever. I think they're just, like, going on a vacation or going to visit family or something. Like, they don't mention, but it's clearly not, like...
Without their baby?
Oh, maybe they wouldn't visit family. I guess if...
Yeah.
Maybe
the reason you visit family after you have a baby is to show them your baby.
Maybe, I think it's mostly that they're, like, going on a vacation together. They need some time off from the baby.
They need some time away from their child. Oh.
Well, I mean, babies are a lot of work.
They are.
So a couple of days off can't hurt.
So.
Yeah,
but they're leaving and Aunt Sarah's coming.
Aunt Sarah's such a terrible, terrible,
Aunt Sarah terrible character. Is the worst.
She's awful.
Oh, man. Whoa. So we have this, Aunt Sarah gets here, and then we have this whole extended scene where just everything that Aunt Sarah does is bad. Because, yeah. You know, ladies really trying to make things work, and, you know, but she goes to introduce her to the baby, and Aunt Sarah yells at her. And
for being near the baby at all. She's not even that close to the baby. She's like...
Not really.
A good 3 feet away from that crib. And she freaks out.
Yeah. You know, shoos her down the stairs, and then the cats come out, the Siamese cats.
This was racist.
And they were also terrible.
They were terrible and racist. this is the song I most remember from this movie that was a child. I definitely remember hearing this song as a kid. Also that the cats freaked me out. They're kind of creepy. They move in unison, and they...
Yeah.
They try and eat the fish, and they're not very nice to Lady.
No. They're mean, and they're jerks, and so they, like, just ruin the house in a matter of minutes.
And the evil aunt blames Lady for it.
Blames Lady for it. And they're just so pleased with themselves at the end of that.
Yep.
And so Sarah brings Lady to the pet store for a muzzle.
Yep.
So they fit her with a muzzle, but she runs away.
Good for her.
Yeah, getting out of that, you know, terrible situation at home.
Yeah, seriously.
But Lady's running down the street, and then I guess they're just a bunch of alley dogs.
Yeah.
Start chasing her.
They're angry and creepy. Yeah,
Tramp comes to the rescue.
And there's like a really serious dog fight.
Yeah.
It was really well animated, but I forgot how, like, angry it was.
It was, but it was, like, three really big dogs.
They were on large one. Dogs.
And Tramp's not the biggest of dogs. Like, he's, you know, kind medium of a scrawny sized. Little... Yeah.
But yeah, very skinny.
But he's, I guess he's scrappy.
Apparently.
Because he fends him off.
Yep.
And so, good on him. And then, so... they decide we'll go to the zoo, because that's how we get rid of muzzles in the animal kingdom.
Apparently. I don't know, this whole process seemed really weird.
Well, it's clear he didn't have, you know, a plan. It's not like he had a regular muzzle guy.
No, because there wasn't a dude sitting around with some wire cutters or anything.
So, but I really liked the way he got into the zoo.
He, like, there was this dude coming out of the zoo. There was a no dog sign, and a cop was there. And there's this dude coming out of the zoo, and he, like, Tramp goes up to him and pretends to be his dog. And the cop's like, hey, you couldn't have dogs in that. That's not okay. And he essentially distracts them for long enough to get in an argument with each other about it.
And sneaks in.
Yeah.
But Tramp pretends to be the guy by whistling.
Yeah.
And so the cop hears the whistle. And so it's a weird thing. Like, how does Tramp, this dog, make a human noise?
I don't know.
And so could humans understand them? They just never talk around the humans, or...
I don't know. You know. Well, there was a mention, they, like, go into the zoo, and they see a cage full of, like, chimpanzees, and he makes mention that they couldn't understand because they're too closely related to humans. So I don't know if that's it.
I guess they'd understand whistles, though.
Apparently.
So, but yeah, they try out a couple of animals. Alligators don't work.
Nope. tries to eat lady.
Yes. But then they meet the beaver.
Who is Beaver from Winnie the Pooh? Is the same voice actor and he makes the same Gopher? Little whistly note. Oh, Gopher. Yes, sorry.
Yeah, it's the same. It's clearly they later use the exact same character design and voice styling and all the characterizations they make. So this beaver, yeah, does become Gopher in Winnie the Pooh.
Yes. And that was weird.
But he's building a dam to dam up a little stream.
And they Tramp manages to convince him that the muzzle the lady is wearing is a log puller. And he's like a really excellent salesman. He sounds just like an infomercial.
Yeah, he drops right into salesman mode.
Yep.
And lady's smart too. Like she catches on and helps out. So this is really nice.
Yeah, it was really funny. So the beaver manages to bite it off.
Yes.
And use it successfully as a log puller.
It works actually really well as a log puller.
Kind of almost killed him, but you know, whatever.
but it helped. It moved the log where it needed to go.
It's true.
So then free of all muzzle constraints, Lady and the Tramp walk off. And then this is all the really famous part.
They go on a date.
Yes.
A dog date.
To Tony's.
Tony's, who gives them spaghetti.
Yeah, Tony and Joe, who are very Italian.
Oh my god, so stereotypically Italian. Yeah.
I didn't remember them being that Italian.
But I do really love them as characters, because they are the sort of characters that would entirely neglect a whole restaurant in order to serve some dog spaghetti by candlelight and sing to them and play the accordion. And I like that sort of character in my movie.
That's what I was wondering, because it seemed like it was, you know, not late, you know, just kind of dinner time late. But, you know, dinner time is a really important time for restaurants.
No, it was so cute, though. And they do the spaghetti kiss and the little meatball nudging thing.
Which I'm sure you've seen a billion times. You've seen far more than you've ever seen this movie.
It's true. I really like Bellinote, too. It's really cute.
It's nice. They do this song a lot. Like, this isn't... It's the song that opens up the movie. Yep. And then they sing it. And then later, when they're on, I guess, just the rest of their date, they get the choral version of it.
Yeah.
And then later, the next morning, Tramp's singing it.
Yes, he is.
So.
The rest of their date kind of reminded me of the This Is Love. So This Is Love sequence from Cinderella. There's a lot of, like, blue tones and water and birds and stuff. Yeah.
I can see that. And so they just have a nice time. And then it's morning.
Yes.
And so Lady says she needs to go home now.
And the Tramp's like, wait a minute, we should chase chickens instead.
He is.
And Lady's like,
clearly a thing he enjoys doing.
Okay, so they go and chase chickens. They go, like, random chicken coop in the middle of nowhere. I don't... Whatever.
Well, I mean, it's in the middle of this town, so they're you know, they're on the lower inside.
Yeah.
And I guess it's feasible somebody might have
chickens.
A chicken area there.
I guess.
But
so.
They also have, like, the most powerful shotgun in the world.
So they chase these chickens, and the dude who owns them starts shooting at them. But first of all, he, like, entirely tears through his own fence. So he's essentially destroying his own chicken coop in the process.
He is. Those chickens are going to get out of that hole.
Yeah, that was a hole, like, twice the size of a chicken.
Yes.
So, yeah. That was odd.
They make it away from that free, but in the process, Lady gets captured by the pound, by the dog catcher. And so, and Tramp doesn't know, and then Tramp doesn't know where she is.
Yeah.
And so.
And then there's we meet a little collection of pound dogs.
Yes.
Peg is the lady dog, the
Peg's the
one.
Lady. I don't remember all their names.
I don't either. There was.
I remember all their nationalities.
Yeah, there was a Chihuahua. There was like the Russian one.
The Russian one was named, I think, Boris. Maybe Bruno. I think it was Boris.
I think Boris. He kept quoting philosophers. That was funny.
Oh, I liked him. He was my favorite.
I liked him too. I liked his eyebrows. Yeah. They all have like really weird prominent eyebrows. The bulldog was like British.
He was British Cockney, or? I think
yeah. And they're talking about Tramp, and Peg's like, oh yeah, he's got like a billion girlfriends, and Lady's like, excuse me? And so then she sings a song about it.
Yeah.
He's
a tramp.
I really like the song. I think it's really cute.
It was a nice little song. I mean, it's kind of, I guess, a showgirl song.
Kinda, yeah.
If that's Peggy Lee, who was a famous performer,
right?
Sometime is voice, you know, voice the character and sings the song. And, so, and I think she might have written it too. I'm not sure.
I don't know. But, oh man, though, before this, there was that really sad, like. Sequence oh, where they were like
the sad scene. Worst part of this whole movie.
Oh god!
It just shows these sad. I had to pause and hug my dog like four times throughout this one little sequence.
Well, it's like watching one of those terrible ASPCA commercials that just make you want to die. Like sad dog commercials. I hate them. But it's basically like that, but animated, so somehow even worse.
Yeah.
It was really sad.
It was so sad. I did not like it. I was glad when we got out of the pound.
Yeah. They figure out, they checked Lady's license when they had brought her to the pound. Yeah,
because she had the tag, and so she gets to go home.
Yeah.
But Aunt Sarah's still in charge. The deers aren't back, so.
So she's tied up outside.
Yeah.
And... okay, I don't quite understand what was supposed to be going on here. Trusty and Jacques come over, and they're talking on their way there about how one of them should marry her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, is this like a fallen woman reference here? Or do they think that she's not welcome in her home anymore?
That was my wonder, because she was, you know, forced outside in the doghouse.
Yeah.
And so,
but like, you know, I didn't know if that was in reference to like her date with Tramp. Like, oh, she's scandalous now, so one of us is going to have to take her in. That's what it sounded like to me, and I was like, this seems odd in a Disney movie. But that whole scene was weird.
It was, but
I don't know what was going on there.
I guess Lady was very nice about it until Tramp shows up. And then everybody shuns the tramp.
It's true. And then she chews him out. It was pretty delightful. And then the rat goes in the house.
So, yeah, first of all, this rat was at the very beginning of the movie. Because part of her morning routine was to just chase away this rat.
Yes. This one rat that apparently keeps coming back. Like, okay.
Oh, man, this is evil demon rat.
It's very, very Secret of Nim. Creepy rat. Yeah.
It's mean drawn. It's like, you're like, oh.
Got red eyes.
The worst rat.
Yep.
But now that she's tied up, she can't chase the rat effectively.
So she barks at it, and Tramp comes back after she's, you know, like, shunned away.
Tramp hears the barking.
And, it's like, there's a rat in the house, and so he runs to go up to the, it's gone in the nursery, I guess.
Yes. Yeah,
it's heading in that direction.
It's after the baby for some reason.
Which is weird. Also,
it's
like,
a weird thing for a rat to do, but...
Okay, so they go and they chase the rat and they kill the rat. And Aunt Sarah thinks it's the dogs.
But well, like, the lady gets free. And so she goes after and Tramp is fighting the rat. And somehow in the commotion, the baby's... Crib falls
gets
over.
Knocked over, yeah.
And so Lady's checking on the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, because Lady's a decent character who has feelings.
I don't understand what the hell the rat would have done to the baby. What are they thinking this rat would eat the baby? It's a rat. Like,
I don't know, but the rat was definitely after the baby.
Which is weird.
Like, that's an unmistakable, like, the rat had sinister plans.
This is thus far the least convincing villain I have ever seen in a Disney movie. Like, what?
Well, it's weird, yeah, because there is no real clear villain up till this one point.
I guess Aunt Sarah is kind of a villain. Right.
Yeah, Aunt Sarah. Yeah.
And the pound people, kind of. But yeah, like, this rat seems to be the villain they decided to focus on all of a sudden, and it's not really doing anything other than going in the house.
The rat has no character motivation like other Disney villains seem to have.
And I just don't believe that a rat could eat a baby.
I mean,
just don't. That's not very convincing.
I mean, it could scratch it and give it rabies. Or maybe, I mean, you know, you don't want your rat to bite a baby, even if it's not going to eat the whole baby. You know, it might eat a little bit of the baby.
Eat a small chunk of baby. I don't know. That just seemed really strange to me.
It felt kind of out of nowhere. Like, there was the little bit with the rat at the very beginning of the movie. But it did feel kind of out of nowhere that, oh, this rat suddenly really hates the baby.
Yep, just cause.
But, hearing all the commotion, Aunt Sarah comes in and blames the dogs.
Of course she does.
So Tramp gets shoved in the closet, and Lady gets scuttled down to the basement.
Yep, and she calls the pound. But Jim Deere and Darling get back.
Yep, just as they see Scamp, Tramp.
Tramp, yes, Scamp. Scamp is his son, right?
Yes, Scamp is his son.
Tramp getting carted off to the pound. And they're like, what?
So the pound guy, you know, is recanting the story that Aunt Sarah gave was this stray dog got in, was after the baby. Which understandably terrifies the Jim Deere and Darling. They run in and then they hear what must be this strange story about Lady being after the baby. And they're like,
yeah,
no, that wouldn't happen.
So they
clearly
let
something else is happening.
They let Lady out, and she goes and gets the rat for them, and they're like, "Oh, okay."
Yes.
That somehow mysteriously makes a lot of sense.
And so, then Trusty and Jacques realize that they've misjudged the Tramp, and they chase down the pound cart.
And Trusty gets hit.
Yeah, they succeed in doing it, but Trusty's hit.
I thought he was going to be dead. I was really upset.
He was going to be dead earlier parts of it. But then Walt Disney was like, we already killed Bambi's mom.
We've done enough to the animal kingdom, you guys.
I don't want to. So, yeah, Walt Disney said that he had to be in the final scene to make sure everyone knew that he just got a little bit hurt.
Okay, that's better.
And so, yeah, because after that we get one last scene, and it's Christmas time again.
And they have puppies.
They do have puppies.
They have puppies with Lady and the Tramp syndrome, which means all the little girls look like Lady and all the little boys look like
the inventor of the trope.
Yep. It's true. They're super cute though.
They are.
And
they can talk.
Yeah, it's true.
So that surprised me. But yeah, it's this really nice little, you know, family scene at the end of the movie.
Yep.
And so, and that's it. It ends with, throughout the whole movie, Trusty had been talking about his grandfather and things his grandfather used to say, and everybody was always saying, oh, we've heard this a million times.
Yep.
But the kids hadn't, so it was finally his chance to talk about his grandfather, and he couldn't remember.
Because they were too cute.
Yeah.
Too distractingly cute.
And that's how it ends.
Yep.
So, it was nice.
I liked this movie. I liked the characters a lot, but I felt like the plot was kind of lacking. Which sounds stupid for a kid's movie, but like, it was kind of just disjointed to me.
Yeah, there's a lot of things about the movie that I would, you know, felt off to me. Like, for one thing, you know, I never felt quite satisfied that Aunt Sarah got punished for her wrongdoing.
I know, right?
And the Siamese twins got off completely scot-free.
Yep. It's
like,
true.
You know, nothing bad ever happened to them for being terrible.
The rat died, I guess, but we still don't really know if the rat was really that evil.
Yeah. I don't know, it kind of reminded me of Dumbo a little bit.
I can see that. Animal-based. Plot's yeah. kind of weird.
And it's interesting that both of these, they weren't completely original stories. They were both based off of written works, but they both of them were stories where the Walt Disney Company had more freedom with the story right. than they would with Cinderella or Snow White.
Right.
And so I'm wondering, they might have, you know, smoothed out the plot, minimalized the plot some.
Right.
But there were parts of the movie I really, really liked. I like the fact that the way the movie was shot, the dogs were very much the center of attention.
Yes.
And a lot of not focusing on the humans. And they didn't go out of their way, like some movies do, to never show the human's face, you know, and right. its only feet kind of thing. But, which, you know, could have been distracting, but they did. It was very clearly focused on the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I liked
how well-developed dog society was.
Yeah.
That was interesting. I liked all the dogs in the pound, and I liked all their dog friends.
Yep. I mean, I really... It felt like a very nice love story.
Yeah.
I did like the relationship between Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah. That's very cute.
They seemed like genuinely good characters.
Yeah.
I guess is a thing. But, yeah, so there were odd bits, but there were very, very redeeming parts of the movie, I felt.
It's definitely worth the watch.
Yeah. So that's Lady and the Tramp.
Yep.
A few just randomly interesting things in reading about it that I thought were funny was the rat was at talks to be a bigger character, but it was going to be a comedic relief character.
Can't try and kill a baby if it's comedic relief.
Yeah, they decided to make it frightening. I mean, and they did make it creepy, frightening looking.
It was a creepy rat.
That worked. That yeah. whatever, you know, plan, that was successful. But it was kind of a weird thing to be... Because the rat was such a minimal character
yeah.
in the end movie, that talking about, you know, what would you have done with the rat?
I don't know.
A really interesting thing I thought was very cool was supposedly they... when making the movie, they built an entire model of the house so that they cool. would know, like, you know, how big the rooms were in comparison to each other and where the rooms went, and to make sure that the bedroom was over the kitchen so
that's
that,
cool.
like, they would know where to place the lights so the lights would shake when, you know, they were stamping yeah. on the floor at the beginning. And so there's, you know, they built this whole little mini working model of the entire house and then filmed it at ground level so that'd be, you know, about where the dogs were.
Yeah.
So they could have that as a reference point. And that's just another thing where, like, it amazes me all the work they do in these movies. It's like the antlers.
Just to get these little details right, yeah.
Yeah, just so, like, the perspective was dog accurate.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man.
That's
cool. I need to go back and reappreciate that.
I need to go look at the carpets more or something.
Because they worked so hard on them.
Yeah.
So, there's interviews where they talked about, since it was their first movie in widescreen, how they hadn't animated for widescreen before.
Right.
And they were having a lot of problems of there's more space, and so they have to rework out the spacing of characters so that the screen doesn't look too heavy on one side or doesn't look too sparse in general.
Right.
So, it was just kind of an interesting read of the talking about working with new things. And that's, you know, something that I think Disney does a good job of, is working with new things.
Learning. They're good at learning.
Moving forward, and yeah, it's just working everything they've made, it feels like they've worked to make it the best possible.
Yeah.
They've always seemed to have gone the extra steps, you know, beyond what's necessary to. And it's, again, it's like the antlers in the house, just to stuff that I would never have thought to do. Yeah. Sitting in a corner. But that's Lady and the Tramp.
It was.
Next week we have to watch Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty.
Yep.
Yay.
Somebody's excited.
I'm excited. Joel's like, there's girls in this movie. There's also a dragon. We're going to like there's the dragon,
Joel. There's a dragon. I'm going to watch just the dragon part.
I'm gonna sit here for an hour and a half by myself being like, and then this was pretty, and then this was pretty. Joel's going to be like, I watched the dragon part. It was cool. That's going to be our podcast next week. Look forward to it.
Look forward to that. All right. We'll be back next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.
But they love him. Breaks a new heart every day. He's a tramp. They adore him.